Well, welcome everyone to the teleclass, Surface Disinfectants and Environmental Impact. My name is Paul Weber, and on behalf of my colleague, Dr. Syed Tatar, I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. Sometimes you listen to a lecturer and wonder if the speaker really believes in what they're saying. Dr. Franz Daschner is not that kind of person. Dr. Daschner is a clinician, an author, a researcher, a teacher, but above all, I believe him to be an environmentalist. His commitment to minimizing mankind's impact on the natural environment shows up in everything he does. Dr. Daschner's hospital in Freiburg is a marvel of conservation, possibly the best in the world. His own home is a study in renewable energy and conservation. I've heard him speak several times and have conversed with him informally, and his message has always been compelling and certainly unwavering. He is absolutely committed to a better world. So to give the teleclass, Surface Disinfectants and Environmental Impact from the Institute of Environmental Medicine and Hospital Epidemiology in Freiburg, Germany. It's my honor and my privilege to introduce Dr. Franz Daschner. Dr. Daschner.
Yes, here I am. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where you are and where you are listening. Welcome to the lecture on surface disinfection and environmental impact. I am the director of the Institute of Environmental Medicine and Hospital Epidemiology at the University Hospital in Freiburg, which is one of the largest university hospitals in Germany and actually in Europe. We have 1,600 beds. We have around 8,000 employees. And together with the patients, we are a small city with 10,000 people, which also means that we more or less pollute the environment at a great extent. And one of the goals, as Dr. Weber told you already, of our research is to do infection control and medicine on a high national and international standard, and at the same time trying to save the environment, not to make it worse, but to keep it as it is or to make it better. Now, the subject today is surface disinfection. Why am I against routine surface disinfection? Have a look at the second slide. I am absolutely not against immediate removal of spillage, infectious blood, urine, etc., with or without a disinfectant, because dirt and infectious excretions and secretions should be removed from the surfaces as soon as possible. There is absolutely no disagreement about that. But why am I against routine surface disinfection, which means adding disinfectants, chemical substances to all cleaning agents, to all cleaning activities? Surfaces, as you know, are extremely rarely a source of infection. The main source of infection, of hospital infection, as you know, is the patient's own flora, the skin and the gut flora, and not the bacteria on surfaces. Bacteria on dry, hard surfaces usually die off because they get no nutrition. And there is no difference in hospital-acquired infection rates when floors are cleaned with a detergent versus a disinfectant. This has been published by my good old friend Bill Rutala. Recently, also, Bill Rutala still argues for routine surface disinfection. We come to that controversy back later on. Aleph, many, many years ago, let's see, it's already 1966, published that 1 to 2 hours after floor disinfection, identical number of bacteria are on the floor as prior to disinfection, because people don't fly. People touch the floor, people walk on the floor. If the floor is dry after using a disinfectant, the floor is being recontaminated again. So if you do routine surface disinfection, which is usually done in American, Canadian, or European hospitals between 6 and 8 in the morning, you have a reduced bacterial load on the surface, on the floor, for 1 and 2 hours, and at 9 and 10 o'clock a.m. you have the same bacterial load as before. Now, we asked ourselves, are there any data in the literature that disinfection of environmental surfaces have any influence on nosocomial infection rate. And we did a systematic review. We did that study together with the Cochrane Collaboration. You know what Cochrane Collaboration is. The German Cochrane Center is actually in Freiburg, so we had the chance to do the study with the Cochrane people in the German Cochrane people in Freiburg. Slide number 4, our search strategy, as you can see, we searched almost all available databases, which you can find in English, in German, in French, in Russian, in Chinese, whatever. We found 2,035 articles which may have potential relevance with regard to the subject, does routine surface disinfection influence nosocomial infection rate? Because what do we want with routine surface disinfection? We want to prevent or reduce hospital infection rate. Now, when we broke down these more than 2,000 articles, we came up with not more than 80 articles which eventually provided a usable scientific information by outcome, which means, once again, does routine surface disinfection reduce nosocomial infection rates? Slide number 6 shows you the level of scientific evidence. I don't go through that because you know level 1, 2, 3. Level 1 is are the studies with the best evidence, and level 5, you can almost forget them. Slide number 7 shows you the number of articles in the different levels of scientific evidence. Level 1, 0. Level 1, as you remember, the best scientific level. Level 2, 0. The most papers were in the lowest scientific level, number 4. Now, the results, I read it, if you are not able to read it by yourself, because it's written in small letters, we found 236 scientific articles, and none of these described meta-analysis, systematic review, or randomized controlled trial. Only 4 articles altogether described a completed cohort study matching the inclusion criteria. None of these studies showed lower infection rates associated with routine disinfection of surfaces instead of cleaning with a detergent only. Now, let's summarize. In the scientific literature, there is no single good study showing that routine surface disinfection has any influence of nosocomial infection rates. Our conclusion in our hospital is we don't do routine surface disinfection on floors, on bed rails. Actually, beds are never disinfected routinely because in 96% of all cases, beds are occupied by non-infectious patients. And only if the bed rail or the bed is heavily contaminated with blood, urine, stool, or whatever, then we use disinfection. That means in only 4 to 5% of all our 10,000 of beds we take care of every year. No routine surface disinfection for mattresses, for bath tubes, for sinks. If we want to have the bacteria anywhere, they should go down the sink to disinfect the sinks, and to kill the bacteria in the sinks where they should go is a really sin against the environment because the chemical substances go down the drain and into the sewage water immediately. Also, no routine disinfection of toilets and of showers. Now we come to the problem of how do disinfectants harm the environment? Because the advocates of surface disinfection say it is an additional security, it makes you feel safer. It may be that it kills a bit more bacteria as being killed by cleaning, and they don't harm the environment. All chemical substances, ladies and gentlemen, going down the drain are killing bacteria in the sewage system. Biological degradation means activity of the good sewage bacteria. We need the sewage bacteria to destroy the dirt which we humans are putting down every day in the sink, in the toilet, in the wash basin, etc. Don't harm the sewage bacteria if not absolutely necessary. And if there is no need for routine surface disinfection, we don't need to harm the environment and the sewage water system. Now, how do disinfectants harm the environment? They cause resistant bacteria. I will show you data later on about the development of the resistance against quaternary ammonium compounds. Quaternary ammonium compounds are commonly used as additives to all cleaning substances, very often used as surface disinfectants in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, in Germany as well. So quaternary ammonium compounds have been scientifically proven to cause resistant bacteria, of course, also in the sewage system. They cause tolerance. Formaldehyde tolerance has been described in German and in English papers. They kill the sensitive bacteria in the sewage system. I told you already, they affect the sewage treatment performance, especially sodium hypochlorite. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't use sodium hypochlorite so much as you probably do right now, especially in America, in England, in France, or whatever. We never use sodium hypochlorite anymore because sodium hypochlorite is not biodegradable. It will kill sewage bacteria and will go on to kill sewage bacteria as long as it stays in the ground and in the sewage system. And they form organic halogen compounds which are very toxic. They obviously contaminate the surface water, and disinfectants have been shown to form mutagenic substances. How do disinfectants harm personnel and the environment? A nice study by Swisher, it's cited on the slide, has shown that our good American friends already drink water with small amounts of quaternary ammonium compounds. Maybe the reason why the American and the Canadian water tastes so awful is that we taste the quaternary ammonium compounds. They found in the Ohio River already 0.08 parts per million quaternary ammonium compounds, because whatever we put down the drain goes into sewage water. The sewage water is cleaned. The cleaned sewage water goes down to the rivers. The river water goes down to the ground. The groundwater forms drinking water or river water as well, and we drink what we put down the drain. How about harmful allergenic reactions to disinfectants by personnel? The study by Schnuch, also cited on the slide, has shown that 1.6 out of more than 15,000 healthcare workers are already sensitized to quaternary ammonium compounds. Ladies and gentlemen, allergy to disinfectants is one of the most occupational diseases, at least in Europe, and especially in nurses and in cleaning personnel. Now, we do need to use disinfectants, of course. We can't do hospital infection control without disinfectants. But the various disinfectants have different toxicities with regard to the environment. The best is alcohol. Alcohol is good for people. Alcohol is bad for people, but alcohol is, in general, very bad for bacteria. Bacteria do not get drunk, they are being killed. So alcohol is, with regard to the toxicity to the environment, very good. So if you put down alcohol into the drain, it's biodegraded immediately. And the same is true for aldehydes. I know that the American friends, and also in many other other European countries, they don't like the aldehydes. The aldehydes are very good for the environment, but unfortunately they are highly allergenic. Overuse of aldehyde is not good for the people, but it may be good for the environment. But in this regard, the people are more important than the environment. Organic acids and oxidants. High toxicity to the environment have quaternary ammonium compounds. They are badly biodegradable. You find quaternary ammonium compounds already in some drinking water resources. You find quaternary ammonium compounds in the sewage. You find quaternary ammonium compounds in fish. Don't use phenolics too much. They are badly biodegradable. We told already about sodium hypochlorite, and there is also a high toxicity to the environment because biguanides are not readily biodegradable. I'm going to talk about development of resistance to several disinfectants. Two examples, benzalkonium chloride and chlorhexidine. In Germany, they did a study. They collected nosocomial pathogens between 1994 and 2001. And as you can see on the slide, more than 2,000 strains. In 1994, the resistance level was more than 500 microgram per ml. 0.4% of these more than 2,000 nosocomial strains had an MIC of more than 500 microgram per ml. Around 500 microgram per ml is about the concentration you will find in the routine dilution in surface disinfectants. In 2001, already 1.1% were resistant. Chlorhexidine resistance rose from 1994 to 2001 from 2% to 7.9%. There is absolutely no doubt, my dear friends, that certain disinfectants develop resistance against certain, if not all, nosocomial pathogens. When you have a look at the next slide, 2,840 gram-negative nosocomial strains, you will also see that resistance is a relevant aspect. Benzalkonium chloride, 4.5% resistant to more than 300 microgram, and chlorhexidine, 0.6% at the in-use concentrations. There are several good papers shown on the next slide, of which the headline is Resistance to Antiseptics, Disinfectants, and Preservatives has been described too. And I cited one of the best studies right now in the literature from Russell. If you read that paper, you will find that almost all antibacterial disinfectant substances can develop resistance, and they are shown on the left part of the slide, though: phenolics, chlorhexidine, triclosan, formaldehyde, chloramine, etc., etc. Let's summarize. There is absolutely no doubt that normal use, and especially overuse, especially long-term use of routine disinfectants with these substances described, is followed by resistance of nosocomial pathogens, which we don't like to. Now we come to some nice clinical studies. The next slide is a summary of this study by Daran, published several years ago in the Journal of Hospital Infection, and they studied the effect of routine disinfection in their hospital nosocomial infection rate. And if you read what I cited directly from the paper, there is no direct link between nosocomial infection rate and use of disinfectants to clean ward floors. They studied 1,117 patients, and they found no change in the incidence of nosocomial infections during the 4 months of the trial. The study, which I described, is continued on the next slide. Citation: uncontrolled routine disinfection of environmental surfaces does not necessarily make it safe for the patient. It could seed the environment with potential pathogens, and we have to decide it to do away with routine disinfection of ward floors. This is a nice study which showed once again that routine disinfection of environmental surfaces has no effect on nosocomial infection rate. We ourselves did a study many, many years ago. I'm now 65. When I did the study, I was 25 years younger, in the early 40s. We compared the infection rate in more than 400 patients in each group. We did one group, we did 6 months routine surface disinfection in intensive care, and in 6 more months, we did just cleaning. And as you can see, the nosocomial infection rate was absolutely identical. 15.6 in the disinfectant period and 15.5 in the cleaning period. We stopped routine surface disinfection in intensive care already 25 years ago. There is even an older study, 1976, which obviously has not been read by many infection control people because it has been published in Archive of Surgery by Weber. The slide has the headline, Floor Disinfection Operating Theaters. And they compared postoperative wound infection rates in theater number one, where they did no routine floor disinfection, as compared OR2, where they routinely disinfected the floor. Same people did same operations in two different operating theaters. One was disinfected, the other not. And as you can see, there is absolutely no difference in postoperative wound infection rate. Now, the next slides, ladies and gentlemen, are typical European ones. There is a slide, guideline Sweden. There is a slide, guideline Netherlands. There is a slide, guideline Finland. And there is a slide, guideline UK. I made this slide several years ago because in Germany, usually a country where they like routine surface disinfection, we have almost 500 different brands of surface disinfectants on the German market. And the reason for that is that we have at least 25 or 30 different companies making surface disinfectants and all need 2, 3, or 4 tests by hygienists. The hygienists are asked, do our disinfectants do the job which they should do? And the hygienists, of course, charge a lot of money. Therefore, there is a group of hygienists testing disinfectants which are pro-routine surface disinfection, and there is a group of infection control people in Germany which do not test for companies on surface disinfectants, which say we do not need routine surface disinfection. So I wrote to the National Reference Centers for Hospital Infection Control in Sweden, in Netherlands, in Finland, and in UK, and asked them, what are you recommending? Because in Germany, most people still recommended several years ago routine surface disinfection. And if you read what these national organizations recommend, then in all these countries, Sweden, Netherlands, Finland, and in the United Kingdom, which means England, the National Reference Centers for Hospital Infection Control do not recommend routine surface disinfection. The people in the UK even recommend cleaning as compared to routine disinfection with MRSA. So obviously MRSA can effectively remove from surfaces with good cleaning substances as compared to disinfectants. And the slide, which has the headline, do we need sterilization or disinfection of patient care equipment in HIV patients, CDC recommendation, as you can see from the year 2000, there are no extraordinary attempts necessary to disinfect walls, floor, or other environmental surfaces. And of course, cleaning and removal of soil should be done routinely and immediately. Now we come to the last three slides. Now the slide which has the headline Household Cleaning and Surface Disinfection, New Insights and Strategies, is published by one of my opponents who likes surface disinfection. He is the head of the infection control department at the University in Bonn. His name is Martin Exner, Professor Martin Exner. He did a nice study, actually a very nice study, and published that in a Journal of Hospital Infection recently in 2004. You should read the study. And in figure one, it shows his methodology. He had 4 squares on the floor. And on square number 1, he put on bacteria. Square 2, 3, and 4 are free of bacteria. And then he used a mop. It says on the left side, the direction of mopping. He used a mop with either water, with surface disinfectants, with aldehydes, with quaternary ammonium compounds, and he used oxidizing substances, peroxide, on the mop. And then he moved the mop from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And then he calculated the number of bacteria in the square number 2, 3, and 4. And as you can see on the next slide, which says figure 2, that the bacteria on these squares were slightly reduced. The bacterial count was slightly reduced. That means the gray columns. Then he used surfactants. No more reduction of bacteria with surfactants. Then he used quaternary ammonium compounds. Almost no difference with regard to water, because what the effect was, the bacteria from square number 1 were transmitted by the mopping to 2, 3, and 4 without being killed. The only real good working disinfectants were aldehydes, almost no or no bacteria on square number 2, 3, and 4 if you use aldehydes or peroxides. So that means even if you use quaternary ammonium compounds on your mop as a routine surface disinfectant, there is no statistical difference to pure water. Bacteria are not even killed. They are just moved to other places in the room. Therefore, let's summarize, why am I very much and emotionally against routine surface disinfection, especially with substances which harm the environment and which cause resistance, like, for instance, quaternary ammonium compounds. Once again, these compounds are very often used as an additive to cleaning substances and very often used in products made for surface disinfection. They harm bacteria, which they should do. Of course, when we use surface disinfectants, we want to kill bacteria on the surface. But at the same time, they harm people, which they should not do. They harm the environment, which is the worst. They cause bacteria to become resistant. They kill bacteria in the sewage system, which we need for biological degradation of dirt and substances which we put down the drain. And finally, everything which goes down the drain and which is not biodegraded finally appears in the groundwater and finally it appears in our drinking water. Therefore, do not use surface disinfectants unless absolutely necessary and scientifically proven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, surface disinfectants are just one example of how thoughtless we are to the environment. Overuse of antibiotics is another problem because, as you know, antibiotics are excreted mostly in active form by stool and urine into the environment. They cause resistance, and 2 years ago, bacteria resistance genes have been isolated from drinking water of one of the cities in Germany. So what I was talking about, disinfectants, holds true also for antibiotics. So please be careful with everything you do, because we have a responsibility not only for us, we have a responsibility for our children, and we have a responsibility for our grandchildren. I am a very happy grandfather, and I don't want a spoiled environment for them to grow up. Thank you very much for your attention, and have a good time, and be careful to the environment.
Thank you very much, Dr. Daschner, for another outstanding and characteristically controversial presentation. In North Manchester in England, they made a policy of going away from regular surface disinfection. Their MRSA rates are among the highest in the country. Could we attribute that to the fact that they've stopped using regular disinfection?
Well, I very much doubt so. There is no study that you remove more bacteria from surfaces with a disinfectant as compared to good cleaning methods. I don't want to be too crude to my English friends. I have very nice and good English friends in the UK. But let's put it this way. The UK hospitals are not amongst the cleanest one in Europe. They have these big rooms shared by 6, 8, 10, or even more people. They have curtains between the beds. They have shortage of personnel. This is evident because the national health system is short of money. I don't know what the Northampton hospital policy is against MRSA. It is true that the MRSA rate in England is high. Actually, the so-called EARS study, EARS, European Antimicrobial Resistance Surveillance System study, recently showed that there are two countries in Europe with the highest increase of MRSA, and that is the UK and, unfortunately, Germany. But nevertheless, nobody has ever shown that using disinfectants are better than good cleaning methods. You have to change the mop between rooms. You don't use the mop for a whole ward. The two-bucket system, which is often used still in England and in other countries, is out because that is a very dirty, a very inefficient cleaning method. You know the two-bucket system. In one bucket is clean water, and the other is dirty water, but you splash dirty water into the fresh water, there is cross-contamination between the two buckets, so this is absolutely indiscussable. We use one mop for each room, fresh water for each mop, and if we use disinfectant, of course, fresh disinfectant for each room, and then we change the mop. And by using this method, we are unable to transmit bacteria from one room to the other. I am careful with the interpretation of policy against the MRSA. Hand disinfection is a much more important surface disinfection.
If we have C. difficile in an acute care hospital, outbreak situation, you know, we've looked at changing product that we use for surface disinfection. And the literature says that hypochlorite, sodium hypochlorite, is what actually kills the spores. Have you got some comments for that?
Well, I told you my arguments from the environmental point of view against sodium hypochlorite. There is no discussion that sodium hypochlorite is very bad for the sewage system, for the drinking water system, for the sewage system. Sodium hypochlorite is a good disinfectant, that's true. But sodium hypochlorite intensively and very fast inactivated by organic substances. So if you put sodium hypochlorite on a dirty floor, you will not disinfect the floor because the sodium hypochlorite is inactivated before it reaches the floor. You are not asking with regard to MRSA, you are asking with regard to spores. When do you need to kill spores? The only need, if ever, is with Clostridium difficile. But it has been shown in another English paper published in Journal of Hospital Infection that if you use good cleaning methodology as compared to spore-killing disinfectants, there is no difference with regard to the spores surviving in the environment.
I think it's probably safe to say that whatever disinfectant you would use that would be sporicidal would have to be awfully strong.
Absolutely.
It would have to have quite a lot of contact time to kill that spore. You're talking about removal rather than...
Removal rather than killing. Right.
I'm just wondering if you have a feeling on something that's been bugging me for a little bit, which is working in a mental health institution or a psychiatric hospital, and should we be looking at our environmental surfaces any differently because they may be more contaminated with fecal flora?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. My wife is actually a psychiatrist, so I have some connection with mental hospitals. You mean psychiatric hospital, is that true?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, the people there, the patients there, are rather often incontinent. The people there are rather often struck with hepatitis B and hepatitis C. And in cases of hepatitis B and hepatitis C, in mental hospitals, especially in patients which are incontinent, we use routine surface disinfectants for disinfecting the bed and the floor as well. Though there are some exceptions of the general rule, don't use routine surface disinfectants, but that is not what I call routine surface disinfectant. That is, there is an indication for prophylactic removal of potential infectious agents such as hepatitis B and hepatitis C. If the patients are incontinent, not collaborative, if they spill around everything which they have in their hands and in their gut, then we use routine surface disinfectant. So thank you for the question.
You talked about cleaning of floors. I'd like you to comment on what is a good cleaning method for other surfaces. Mainly, I would say high-touch surfaces or frequently touched surfaces.
Good question. We have a small, in our hospital and in many hospitals in Germany, a cleaning system which is a small, let's call a small wagon, okay? And there are the mops on one side. There is clean water on the other side. There is disinfection which you can spray on the mop. There are different colors for different areas. So there is, for instance, red is for the toilet, and green is for the sink, and blue is for the whatever. And the people use gloves, and they almost never, let's put it this way, they always never mix up the different colors. And by using that very simple color-coded system, there is very little, if ever, cross-contamination between the different areas which you have to clean and or disinfect. So, for instance, the door handles, you don't have to disinfect, it's just cleaning. The sink, The tap, you don't have to disinfect, you just clean. But you have a disinfectant on this small wagon. If you have an incontinent patient in one room, which might have hepatitis B or C, then you have the disinfectant on the wagon as well.
On the same question, just a small question again on, are you using microfiber system or is it like a regular cotton mop?
It's a regular cotton. It's a regular cotton. But we did a study on the microfiber system. It is marvelous. It is marvelous. My wife at home, she just loves it. She said, I don't even need water with the microfiber system. But in our hospital, we are not able to use it because, first of all, it's rather expensive. And secondly, the microfiber mops, etc., people like it so much, they take it home, they steal it. They take it from the floor and go home, and then we have to replace hundreds and hundreds of the microfiber, so we stopped it.
Just to be clear, when we're talking about floors, we're talking about mops, and the above floor surface would be a launderable cloth.
Yeah. Okay. They are launderable. They are used only for one room, and then they go back to the laundry. It's an expensive system, but the hospital at least looks very clean.
I had a question about the comparison of resistance data that you had between 1994 and 2001.
Yeah.
Showing an increase in the MIC for benzalkonium chloride and chlorhexidine. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, how much of that increase do you believe is due to the overuse of disinfectants versus the overuse of antibiotics?
Good question. You are referring to the fact that there are several studies in the literature now that overuse of disinfectants may also cause antimicrobial resistance. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe the increase that you see here is due to the use of antibiotics in the hospital setting versus the use of disinfectants?
Mm-hmm. In that case, this was not the case, because in that hospital where they did the study, there was no increase of antibiotics and there was an increase of use of disinfectants. So the increase of resistance to disinfectants was correlated to the increase of use of disinfectants, of these disinfectants, and not of antibiotics.
I'm just wondering if you'd like to comment on the use of disinfectants and hand soaps, and if that's contributing to the amount that we're seeing in the environment.
Disinfectants for hands.
I think we're talking about triclosan and...
Triclosan.
Chlorhexidine.
Oh my God. Triclosan is, as compared to alcohol, the worst hand disinfectant you can imagine. When you produce triclosan, it's a chlorinated substance, then you produce a lot of chlorine-containing substances during the process of triclosan, okay? Number two, triclosan is, at least in the animal studies, liver toxic. Triclosan is not very readily biodegradable. Triclosan is very, very, very much less active in 2 or 3 minutes as compared to alcohol. So what we really recommend is alcohol for hand disinfection. The Germans and the Austrians, we love alcohol to drink, of course, and on the hands. So alcohol for hand disinfection is the most active substance. Triclosan is much less active. Triclosan-containing soaps are even less active as higher concentration triclosan as an antimicrobial agent for hand cleaning, hand disinfection. So please don't use them. And recently they isolated triclosan-resistant MRSA in France. The resistance of MRSA to triclosan is steadily increasing. And if you try to get rid of triclosan, for instance, triclosan-containing substances go to the waste, and the waste is being incinerated. If triclosan is being incinerated, small amounts of dioxin go into the air. So please forget the triclosan business and use alcohol for drinking and for hands.
And for chlorhexidine, do you have a comment on usefulness or environmental impact of that product?
Chlorhexidine is much less active as compared to alcohol. Chlorhexidine in 4% concentration in soap is irritating. Many of our patients on which we used chlorhexidine-containing soap for decontamination of skin and the hair developed allergy. Therefore, instead of chlorhexidine, in Germany we use octenidine. Octenidine is a substance which is produced in Germany by the company Schülke & Mayr. If you write to me, I will give you the brand name of that disinfectant. It's very nice. Octenidine is very good for skin and for mucous membrane disinfection because it's not irritating, which chlorhexidine is also not, but octenidine is more active as chlorhexidine. The chlorhexidine use in Germany is very low. I know it's rather high in the UK and in other English-speaking countries. They like chlorhexidine, but maybe their skin is less sensitive than the German skin.
Thank you. Let me just mention quickly that Weber Training doesn't endorse or advertise any product or manufacturer.
Of course not.
When you went to just regular cleaning and got rid of the disinfectants in your hospital, what was the biggest obstacle to overcome with the staff? Trying to get a disinfectant away from cleaning staff is becoming more difficult because of their concerns for their own health and safety in our part of the world. I'm just wondering what the biggest problem was in your part of the world.
It was very easy because we told them and we demonstrate them, and they had the experience that most disinfectants used for surface disinfection and for cleaning are irritating and allergenic. They are more irritating and more allergenic as usual detergents, which are at least in Germany on the market. And therefore we told them, why don't you be good to your skin and use a substance which is more comfortable to your skin? Just use detergent, biodegradable detergent. And it was very easy to convince these people. Absolutely very easy. We had no problem whatsoever. We had problems with the nurses. They said, oh my God, it's not hygienic and it's not good for infection control. We had even more objections from the part of the doctors. They said, oh my God, this Dashner with his environmental idiotic ideas, he will put it into the jail because we get sued for whatever. But with the housekeeping personnel, no problem at all. Absolutely not.
Thank you for all those questions and those tremendous answers. And thank you all for joining this teleclass today. And a special thanks to Dr. Dashner for an excellent presentation. Until we meet again, everyone, goodbye.